It's the story of an American held in a dark Venezuelan prison.
Then all of a sudden, they all kind of lined up. They pointed their guns at me. And this is the point where I thought, I'm going to die today.
I'm Becky Bruce. I spent a year working on Hope in Darkness, which now has more than 2 million downloads. Find it on KSLpodcast.com or wherever you listen to podcasts.
Utah's best athletes count on flexibility, speed, strength.
And the Jazz pick up their 22nd assist.
So they count on University of Utah Health.
Brielso Lake puts this game away.
And so can you. Leading doctors, a world-class environment, award-winning innovation, care to be great.
14 unanswered by the Utes.
University of Utah Health, caring for Utah's best and yours. Schedule your appointment now at uofuhealth.org/care to be great.
Let's lock in.
This is Unrivaled.
Yes! Yes!
The teams you live for. The sports you love. With Scott Mitchell and Alex Keery on 97.5 1280 The Zone. Powered by KSLSports.com.
Alrighty, sports fans, welcome on in. It is Unrivaled. I'm Scott Mitchell, and joining me today is Mitch Harper from KSLSports.com and, of course, host of Cougar Sports Saturday. Thank you so much for joining, Mitch. It's so good to have you here.
It's a great time to be on with you, Scott. I'm excited to be here on the Zone and talk a lot of it's Jazz game day, BYU football talk, Utah football. There's so much to get to this week. So Alex missed a bad week to take a little bit of a trip. So happy to fill in today on this Wednesday.
Well, Alex has a pasty white body and he needed to get a little sun on it. So
fair enough. I can relate to that.
And I encouraged it because, you know, I have to look at him every day. And I you know, it's just a hard thing.
Yeah, but a little bit of a bronze look. Yes. Might look a little bit better on the eyes, I guess.
Bronzing would look nice on Alex. Anyways, thank you so much for being here. And yes, we do have a lot to get to. And I know all you fans out there are like, oh, Mitch Harper, he's the BYU insider, man. This is going to be a BYU show. And yes, we are going to talk about the Cougars.
Of course.
But I just have to point something out before we get into that. Did you know that the University of Utah is going to the Rose Bowl? I'm just curious. I don't know. Maybe you've been under a rock. Maybe you've been in Provo and just haven't heard the news, but the Utes are in the Rose Bowl.
Yeah, I did get that message, Scott, and yeah, it's what a big deal for the University of Utah and Utah football. I mean, you know, as someone who's grown up loving college football in my whole life, and to think that there's a local team going to the Rose Bowl, think you're going to experience the San Gabriel Mountains, that sunset, that's going to be pretty awesome, and that's going to be amazing stuff to have it be against Ohio State, the premier brand in the Big Ten Conference. I mean, that's a big opportunity for the state, big opportunity for Utah to really set the table to be a trendy preseason pick in 2022 for the playoff. I mean, that's kind of what's at stake. You know, it's not the playoff, but I think it's a game where you win, you take down Ohio State, it sets the stage for 2022. Utah might be a preseason top 10 team next year.
Yeah, and Utah's not going to play BYU next year, so they're going to have a chance, you know, early on in the season. To maybe, because I agree, they'll probably be considered probably a top 10 team next season. And they have a tough non-conference schedule. That's not what I want to talk about now. Thank you for all that information. That was great. More than I even thought we would get to.
From the BYU guy, no
less. I know. It's amazing. All right. We do have something that we want to talk about. And, of course, there's a lot of hot talk here about Kalani Sitake potentially going to Oregon. And that is our cut.
The unquestioned. Undeniable. Unrivaled. Top sports story of the hour. Here's what made the cut.
Ain't nothing like it.
Okay, I'm going to put you to work here before we get into this topic about Kalani. Apparently, there's some breaking news that just happened on KSLSports.com.
Yeah, KSLSports.com is reporting Kyle Ireland, Utah running back TJ Pledger, to declare for the 2022 NFL draft. So the junior rusher plans to leave the University of Utah after playing only one season with the Utes. Obviously, before Utah, he was with the Oklahoma Sooners from 2018 to 2020. So that's up on KSLSports.com and the KSL Sports app. TJ Pledger going to declare for the 2022 NFL Draft. Is that a little bit of a surprise?
That's a big surprise to me. And it is. I know you're going to have – I think there's going to be some surprises about guys who go and guys who stay. Running backs are funny. Running backs have a shelf life. You know, they just take so many hits, you know. I'm not sure why TJ would leave, considering if he looks at this team next year, as we just mentioned, it's gonna have a significant consideration for early season playoff potential, and most of the team's coming back, and he was an integral part of things. I mean, he was a good counterpunch and a really steady guy for Utah. Throughout, the season, just from on the field, but he was a really mature player. He brought a championship mindset to the program. I'm disappointed because I think he's a key asset, and I think he'd even be better next year. And maybe it's just, look, Tavion Thomas is going to be the guy, and Mekhi Bernard is probably going to be healthy again next year, probably come back, and Mekhi's probably the most complete back Utah has. So, yeah, I would say I'm a little surprised. But, I don't know how you know this early that, where your draft stock is. I mean, it's a little shocking.
Yeah, a little bit surprising for sure. I think, though, the one thing for Utah going forward is that you know that Kyle Whittingham and the Utah program are always going to have that next move in the transfer portal. I mean, out of all the programs in college football, I would say, Utah is in that upper crust of programs that's made the transfer portal a attractive spot, because I think they're still – these programs in the state, albeit successful, BYU, Utah State, they're still maybe those. They still maybe don't get the 5- and 4-star kid right away out of high school all the time. But if you build that relationship, that second go around when all these guys hit the portal, they're going to look and say, why would I go play for the Pac-12 champ and be a plug and play guy and be in a backfield that's got a strong history of producing 1,000-yard rushers and having so much success at the running back position? So it would be a loss. But I think that ultimately with the transfer portal era, Utah's going to be able to find someone out of that portal to add reinforcements to that group with Tavion Thomas.
Yeah, and Utah's won and lost in the transfer portal. I mean, they've had some bad picks at quarterback, but they've had some really good picks at quarterback, and they've had some good picks at running back. BYU had a good pick with a running back,
Tyson Williams.
Yeah, and so I agree with you, and it's like it's the great equalizer now in college football. I mean, it can fix a lot of ills in a program quickly is to have that ability to go in the transfer portal. And I get a sense from all of these teams about recruiting that it's become a normal and an integral part of your recruiting process. It's like, okay, because you can swing on guys and go, we really need a corner. Let's just go for it. And if we don't get one, then we can go out in the secondary market, if you will, and find something, and it's a good addition. There were a couple of guys, I think, with Utah this year. Brandon McKinney, who is a safety at Washington, he wasn't this, like, just superstar player, but he came in and has played very, very adequately and efficiently for Utah, and he's a great depth player when you have a lot of injuries in the secondary or you have guys that you think are going to be there and who aren't. Okay, interesting developments here, or not. And this whole idea about who's Oregon's coach, right? Because clearly Mario Cristobal kind of jumped ship, and he went far away. In fact, he went as far away from the Pac-12 in Utah as he possibly could get, according to Stephen A. Smith.
I wish him nothing but the best. Let's just hope he don't have to play Utah. Got smacked around 38-10 in the Pac-12 championship game, and 2 weeks before that, 38-7. I mean, damn, what a way to go out. Stay the hell away from Utah, and you might succeed in Miami.
So here you have, and I didn't really think about this, and we said a little tongue-in-cheek, because Mario Cristobal did a great job at Oregon. He really did. I mean, he was, and he's considered one of the top-tier coaches.
But did he
do
less with more, though? I think he did.
There's a potential of that, and I'll give you one player, Justin Herbert.
Yeah,
I mean, I've said this on our show many times where I'm just so glad that they haven't figured out how good Justin Herbert is at Oregon, because he was so underused there, and there was a mindset. It's like, we're going to be this tough run team, and it's like, yeah, but you got this NFL talent quarterback. I mean, and it's like, And now they did use him in the Pac-12 championship game, but they used him to run the football. And that's not even Justin Herbert, but they clearly I don't know how great they are at assessing talent and really getting the most. I don't disagree with that. But I thought it was interesting that Mario Cristobal got as far away from the Pac-12 as you possibly could get, right? I mean, you can't find a university in North America or in the continental United States further south and east than Miami, right? I mean, there's only Key West, and there's no universities in Key West. It's like, because I live there. It's like, there's Miami. That's it. That's the end of the road. And I thought that was funny. There's a lot of talk about Kalani and about him potentially going to Oregon. And you have an interest, you're just this cat who's got the canary, and you haven't said a word about this. And so I want to hear what your take is on the potential of Kalani going to Oregon.
Yeah, I think Kalani's a legit candidate for Oregon. I just don't think he is the top candidate for Oregon. I think Oregon it looks at Lincoln Riley at USC and realizes we cannot just get a Kalani. Like, I think Kalani would be good. He would be very good at Oregon. But you got to realize Cristobal got Oregon to where they were a top five recruiter with Mark Helfrich, with Bellotti. They were not recruiting at the clip that Cristobal was recruiting. He got them into South Florida and South Beach. He got them as a national recruiting program. They've had a national brand dating back with Joey Harrington. But as far as recruiting goes, they became national with Cristobal. And I think they want to maintain that. And I think the guy that Oregon should go with, and I think that maybe a target that would be number one, is Lane Kiffin. I think that's the guy that you have to go with, because Lane Kiffin at Ole Miss, sixth or seventh best job in the SEC.
Right.
When those teams are at their best, Ole Miss, like, they're having a historic year. First time since maybe Archie Manning, they got 10-win regular season.
And that's the best it's ever going to be.
It's best it's ever going to be.
It's all downhill for Lane
Kiffin. Alabama, when LSU, when Oklahoma, when Texas are at their best, they're better than Ole Miss.
Yeah.
And those are teams in their division, possibly.
Right.
If I'm Lane Kiffin, even though he got the extension at Ole Miss, no one knows the buyout terms. I'm Oregon. I'm going to get Lane Kiffin. He's got Pac-12 ties, and I think he might want to stick it to USC, the old school that he used to be at, and go toe-to-toe with Lincoln Riley. Because I think Kiffin's got the cachet to counter, you know, that national narrative that everything is shifting to USC and the Pac-12. It's going to be a one-team show. Kiffin could write that. Whereas Kalani, people locally and in the region, they respect the heck out of Kalani, and he would do great in Southern California. But I don't think he would swing Southern California kids out of USC up to Eugene, Oregon.
Right.
Kiffin's got that potential. He could.
No, that's a very interesting perspective. But you think Lane Kiffin actually is a guy that would be a great recruit? Because what you're saying is you've got to get a guy, and it's the marquee name, it's the hip name, it's the most popular name today. And a Lincoln Riley type of name, a sexy pick type of thing, that fits in really with the Oregon brand. I mean, you look at, you know, I've said this before, when they change uniforms at halftime, you know, they're so out of the box in the things that they do there. But do you think Lane Kiffin is actually a guy that could do that recruiting?
I think so. And I think that, you know, with head coaches too, I think they're more CEOs than ever before in college football. And I think that's what makes Kalani attractive. He embodies, I think, the perfect coach in this era of the student athlete, where they have more control than ever before. Kalani embraces guys going to the portal and doesn't, you know, scold them for going in. Like, he's not going to belittle those guys. Hey, go. Even before the portal was a thing, Kalani was saying, hey, if you're going to transfer, we'll let you go. Wherever you want to go, transfer. He's created a culture with the name, image, and likeness. So Kalani would be a great fit at Oregon. And I think if they came calling and actually offered him, I think that is a program that is a hard one to turn down, because they have such a strong history that dates back to Haloti Ngata with the Polynesian community. I mean, you're talking about 20 years of elite, not just some of the best or some good talent, elite Polynesian talent has gone to Oregon. So you've got that built-in connection. I think Kalani would take it to another level in that regard. But I think that just for that Oregon fan base to feel like, you know, because these ADs are making $90 million decisions. I mean, there was reports that Phil Knight is offering an $85 million deal to Cristobal. I mean, that's kind of like, you can't tell me that any coach is up for grabs when they're offering $85, $90 million to go play or coach in Eugene. and to know that Oregon has endless commitment to athletics. Like, they are a school that's – they don't put academics first. It's their athletics is the vehicle that promotes that great brand.
Right.
And that's a unique deal, and I think that that makes them very attractive. I think for Kalani, though, you know, the pros to that job would be he's got a track record in Oregon for his 1 year at Oregon State, strong ties to the Pac-12 Conference, recent success against the Pac-12 Conference. So he's an attractive candidate, but I just don't think he's the home run that Oregon's looking to get to counter USC and Lincoln Riley, because I think all of the momentum in the conference, despite Utah winning the league, it's centered in LA with USC and Lincoln Riley. Everyone assumes that's just going to take off like a wildfire with Riley in LA.
No, yeah, there's no question about it. Okay, so Tom Homel, the athletic director at BYU, is in conversations with Kalani, and you wrote an article about all of this and how they're looking to take care of their coach. What does it take for BYU to keep a guy like Kalani Sitake there?
You know, I think Scott, I think BYU's got to make sure to take care of Kalani's assistants, but I think more so also the support staff. You know, you think about it, BYU's recruiting staff, only two full-time staffers. You look at like Utah State, they got 12 full-time support staff people. BYU's going to the Power Five. How is that possible? You look at Baylor, they're equal in the Big 12. They got 15 full-time people. That is the area where BYU has to improve. BYU, and I've said it with you and Alex before too, it's only the last 20 years that BYU has gotten the world of negotiating and dealing with contracts and dealing with agents. Lavelle never did that. He was always, you know, every year, I'll come back and I'll turn down the Detroit Lions. I'll turn down the Miami Hurricanes. Like, once upon a time, you wanted Lavelle to coach there back in the 70s. And he turned them all down and said he'd always come back to BYU, and it was always a year-by-year deal. That's obviously not how it works. And I think that, you know, BYU has got to make sure their athletic department and their university president, they got to be on the same page of what BYU football wants to be in this new era of the Power Five and in the Big 12 Conference. And I do believe that they want to win at the highest levels. I had a conversation back in September with an advancement VP, the right-hand man to BYU's president, and he's like, we got to recruit better. And there's a commitment to winning on the athletic space. They don't want to just get into the Big 12 and say, oh, we've made it now. Let's be 6-6, 5-7, and call it a day. So I think they want to win. And I think BYU's got more resources than people give them credit for. And I think that this narrative out there that just simply Kalani's making nothing, he's working on IOUs, like, we don't know for sure how much he makes. We don't know truly. He got a contract extension back in August. No one truly knows because it's not open records. But I think that, you know, Kalani wants to be at BYU, and I think that he wants his assistants and his support staff taken care of. And with support staff too, you got to make sure to give them a great wage, because cost of living in Utah is not cheap. It's cheaper than California. But if you want to get quality support staff that can enhance your program and your on-field product, you better pay good wages so those people can have a comfortable living and be able to maximize their time spent at BYU.
What? Okay, there's a lot you've said here, a lot that fascinates me. And you talk about support people, but it's also infrastructure, yep. Right? Facilities.
I think BYU needs to get updated on the facilities too. I mean, Kalani said in the past, about a couple years ago, he's not worried about facilities. I think that BYU needs to update some things. I mean, the student athlete building down there, you know, it's been around since 2003 or four. I think you got to have a full football complex. And no plans of that per se, but I think that's something that's got to be in the back of BYU's mind. Indoor practice facility is great. I think the stadium itself is great. But I think maybe just some of the football complex, that student athlete building, I mean, maybe you can update that, because you see what Utah did. I mean, Kalani had a front row seat to that transition for Utah from the Mountain West Conference to the Pac-12, and just the financial commitment that Utah invested, and it did not return instant rewards for Utah. I mean, you think about it, those first couple of years, you know as well as anyone, Scott, I mean, 5-7, 5-7. Then they had that breakthrough year with Gianni Paul and Jared Norris and those great linebackers that Utah had. And it's been a 10-year build to get to the Rose Bowl. It took so many years and a lot of investment financially. That's what BYU's just got to lay out and show that, Kalani, we are all in it to get you to a Sugar Bowl, to get you to the 12-team playoff. That's what we're going to do. This is the vision. We're going to lay it all out here. And that's, to me, what the conversations need to be centered on, because You are our guy. We do not want to lose you. And this is how we're going to do it to build and get better in the Big 12 Conference.
So don't you think that BYU is like it's an unusual job in college football?
100%.
Like it's really one of those where they do want a guy like Lavelle.
Yeah.
That wants to stay there and wants to be a part of it. But understanding that they may, you know, like you said, they may have to change the dollar amount to keep a guy like that. And is Kalani that guy? And does he really want to stay there? And I understand that you got to have the support staff and all of that. But what dollar number keeps Kalani at BYU?
Yeah, that's a good question. I mean, you look at the Big 12 Conference right now, you know, the high-end salary for the new Big 12, if you remove Oklahoma, you remove Texas, and Gary Patterson, who's no longer with TCU, the high-end is $4.25 million. I think Kalani warrants $4 million. I think you go 10 years, $40 million. I mean, or at least 8 years, $32 million. I mean, it's not my money. I mean, it's BYU's and everything they work out, but I think he warrants that. I think – because I think, too, that, you know, people, I think, look at the BYU job and just think it's just – endless struggles and it's difficult. I think there's also some easy, you know, avenues with BYU that it's a little bit easier than other jobs where Kalani doesn't have to always chase the five star. There's an instant filter with BYU's recruiting. He can always get guys that dream of going to BYU that just naturally come to him. You can still get the program guys. And if you get now a handful of those like Kingsley Suamataias that they've got from the transfer portal that are five star talents, you can suddenly have a squad that can contend in a watered-down Big 12 conference. So I think that's going to you know, help Kalani. But I think that, you know, financially, BYU just got to show that commitment that they've never done before in terms of just longevity and just the amount of money they're going to throw at him. But keep in mind, though, you know, when Jeff Grimes came onto the staff after Ty Detmer, that was the most the highly paid staff in history of BYU football, according to Tom Homo. So I think there is a willingness to make it happen. It's just not matching the speed that we're seeing the coaching carousel go off at. I mean, when Mel Tucker gets a 10-year, $95 million deal, it just reset everything.
Right.
And now the coaching carousel is going to be a yearly deal. Like, that's why when, you know, Lane Kiffin signs a contract extension, I don't think he's completely off the market at Ole Miss, because if Oregon comes in with a 10-year, $90 million deal, how can you turn that down when he has such strong connections in the Pac-12 Conference? And if you're Kalani Sitake, if Oregon offered Kalani that deal, I think you got to take that, because that might be a way more than Kalani probably to this point warrants, because he doesn't have a national championship background and he hasn't recruited to the levels that maybe Oregon wants. But if they offered that, man, you got to listen.
Well, I just wonder if that become, when you talk about the new norm, is it poaching guys at places like Lincoln Riley who appear to be in really good situations, and you just say, yeah, if we're really going to have a chance and we're really serious about this, and you get a booster like a Phil Knight, or you get a blue blooded program, traditionally a power type of team that's kind of down, I mean, do you know maybe that becomes the norm, that becomes the way people actually go and recruit coaches.
And one thing I would say, too, with Kalani and BYU that's a strength for BYU going forward is that it's a program that's got rich history. He loves the place. And I think there is endless potential for BYU as a Power 5 team and in a 12-team playoff era potentially. Like, you win the Big 12, the conversation that we've heard about this playoff expansion is Power 5 AQ bids. So you're telling me the watered-down Big 12 could have an automatic bid to the playoff? Like, that's an easier path to me than going through Utah and Lincoln Riley at USC and being at Oregon, where you're still in Eugene, 300 days of rain and cloudy. I mean, there is a better path to the playoff at BYU, I could say, in a 12-team playoff era than Oregon.
Yeah, that's a good poll question right there. If you're Kalani Sitake, are you better Big 12 BYU or are you better at Oregon?
I think there's a better path in a 12-team playoff, not 4-team.
Yeah, right. No, there's no path for anyone in a 4-team. Yeah. It's the path of the SEC in the 4-team. I just wonder if Oregon's still a national brand, though. There's a lot of cachet, and you get the right person at Oregon, you're gonna be a successful team, and you're gonna be a team that people talk about on a national stage.
But have they reached their ceiling, though? I mean, when Chip Kelly had it going with Mariota and Helfrich, they got to that national title game against Ohio State, and And Cristobal, I mean, I feel like Cristobal did less with more. And I don't think Kalani's going to go in there and suddenly get top five recruiting classes like Oregon got, because if you want to go to the 4-team playoff, you have to have a top five recruiting class on an annual basis. And I don't know if Kalani steps right in and does that.
All right. We're going to take our first break. Is there anything else that you'd like to talk about this?
I'm fired up, Scott.
Because you're not really passionate about what we've been talking about here at all.
Just a little bit.
Yeah. Was there anything that you needed to say to me?
But we got to get to a break, Scott. We can get to it later.
I know, but is there more? Because I might tease it to the next break. Because if not, I got something for you.
Go ahead.
All right, let's say Kalani Sitake goes to Oregon. Who then becomes the coach at BYU?
Ooh, okay.
That's the question. All right, we'll answer that and, of course, talk about the Jazz when we come back. It's Unrivaled on 97.5, 1280 The Zone. Scott Mitchell and, of course, Mitch Harper. We'll see you in just a minute, folks.
A gun in the face.
Then all of a sudden, they all kind of lined up. They pointed their guns at me. And this is the point where I thought, I'm going to die today.
Started 2 years of horror for an American in Venezuela.
They said, you need to give us your phone and get ready because you're coming with us.
I'm Becky Bruce, and I spent a year researching and piecing together Josh and Tammy Holt's story about their ordeal in a notorious prison.
That's when everything started to turn bad. We had another pound on the door. Boom, boom, boom. And there was the police once again.
You can binge all of the episodes of Hope and Darkness on KSLPodcasts.com or wherever you get your podcasts.